Go back to Psalm 119 now with me. We looked at Psalm 119, every verse, in eight. If you'll notice, there are 22 of them. It's the Hebrew alphabet. And there are eight verses in each song, 22 songs, 176 verses. We looked at these 21 years ago, so it's been quite some time. But we've looked at these eight verses six or seven times. They mean a lot to me, as they do you, I know. I've entitled this a psalm for me. David keeps saying, teach me, quicken me, make me, establish me. He's praying for himself here. David often prays for Israel, for his brothers and sisters, as we're told to do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. After this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven, lead us, give us, forgive us. But this is a very personal prayer and psalm. We're told to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns. We need to hear this for ourselves. We need to take it very personal. Prayer, public prayer, is a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing when somebody leads in prayer. But private prayer is very needful, very needful. So this is a personal thing, a needful thing. We need to hear this more than anyone else, ourselves. Teach me, make me. You see, our biggest problem is not other people. It's me. It's us. You are not my problem. I am. I'm not your problem. It's you. And the sooner we realize that, the more humble we'll be, more loving, more merciful, gracious, compassionate, forgiving, kind. And we would. You know that? Teach me. Yeah, this is how it begins in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it or hold out unto the end. Teach me, O Lord. You know, if we really learn something, you don't need to keep being taught it, do you? If you really learn something, you don't need to be taught it over and over again. So what does that say about us? If we really learn from our mistakes, we won't repeat them, will we? So, David says this over and over in the psalm. Teach me, teach me, teach me. Psalm 25, and we'll not leave these verses much tonight, but Psalm 25, go over here. David says it several times in Psalm 25. Look at verse 4. Psalm 25, 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Thou art the God of my salvation. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way. I need to be taught over and over again. I'm like a little child. One of the brethren, well, Steve Montgomery texted me and said, why don't we learn? We keep repeating the same thing. And that's why the Lord keeps teaching us. They shall all be taught of God. And like a faithful parent, he keeps teaching us the same thing. That teach me, verse 33, the way of thy statute. The way. Christ is the way. The way of the transgressor is hard. Christ said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Teach me to follow Christ, to hear Christ, to look to Christ. Teach me. Take his yoke upon him. Learn of him. The way of man is wrong. It ends in destruction. Teach me the right way. Christ is the way. Statutes means appointments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. It's appointed unto a man once to die. And God hath appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man, by Jesus Christ. But he hath not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation. Why? Because Christ
is our salvation.
So teach me. Christ is the Word of God personified in. Teach me that Christ is all. And I will lay hold of Him. I'll keep believing Him, trusting Him, looking to Him all my life to the end. Isn't that what you want? I want to hold fast to the end. My compass is Christ, the way. Teach me that Christ is all. Verse 34. Give me understanding. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Give me understanding. Don't you love Proverbs 8? It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. Verse 4. Proverbs 8. Unto you, O men, I call. And women, young people. O ye simple, verse 5. Understand wisdom, ye fools. Be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, I'll speak excellent things. We hear so many voices out there, don't we? We need to shut our ears to every voice but His voice. Here, verse 6, I will speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right thing. My mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Keep reading. Receive my instruction, not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom, Christ, is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to him. I, wisdom, or Christ, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. So he says, give me understanding in our text. Give me Christ. Give me an understanding of him. And it says in verse 34, and I shall keep thy law. Well, if I understand Christ aright, in Christ I have kept the law. You understand? I want to keep the law. I love the law of God. It's holy, it's just, it's good. It's right, it's true, it's just, but I can't. Try as I may, I can't. Christ did. And if you understand the gospel, Christ came to fulfill the law for that. All right? So give me an understanding that Christ is my law keeper. And it's not that I'm not without law to God, but I'm under law to who? Christ. What's his law? That his commandments are not grievous. And he said, do what I say. Follow me. He didn't put us under the Mosaic law, the Levitical law, under law of love, grace. You're not under law, you're under grace. So it doesn't, your salvation doesn't depend on you keeping it. Depends on Christ keeping it. You understand that? Now verse 34, he says, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Observe means to look to and ponder and meditate and keep your eye on. Well, that's Christ. We need to keep our eyes on Him with our whole heart. I love, let's see if I can find it. I think I've quoted this many times. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until He has mercy upon us. To look to Christ. And this whole psalm, these eight verses, is David and us looking to the Lord. It's like you have pets that look to you for everything, don't you? If you have an indoor pet, that they're completely dependent on you for Everything, their food, their drink, their safety, their affection, everything. If you left them alone, they would die. But you won't, will you? You love them. Even though an old worthless cat or dog, they're worthless, aren't they? But not to you. You love them. So, they look to you. They look to you. And they need you, don't you? Well, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to provide for those that look to Him? So we look to Him. Give me, Lord, give me. This is a good gimme. You know, all our life we were born saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. Our Lord knows that. He knows our frame. He knows we're weak. He knows we're helpless. We're just flesh. We need somebody to take care of, somebody to teach us, somebody to give us everything we've got. Everything we get is by grace. Gimme. Give me, please. Give me. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Give me. Verse 35. Make me. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I like. Make me. If you feel like you're a sheep of his, prone to wander, you're sure glad he makes you to lie down in green pasture. Makes you to sit together in heavenly places. Make me. If he didn't make us, we wouldn't come. Would he? He made us to sit together. Made you to sit and lie down. Made us to go. Make me to go in the path of thy commandment. Don't let me wander. Don't let me wander. The story of Christian's Pilgrim's Progress, he and his faithful and his friend were walking on the path, and the evangelist told him to stay in the path now. Stay in the way. It's straight, it's narrow, don't get out of the way. And they looked over here, and there was all a bunch of people in this great big wide way, and they looked like they was all having fun and all that. It's called Bypass Meadow. And they all looked, look at all these people. They're doing all right, this broad way. So they turned aside out of the straight and narrow way and went on this broad way, everybody. And they fell asleep, and that's when they ended up in Doubting Castle under the giant despair. And they didn't think they were ever going to get out. Remember that? If you read it. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 36, incline me. Incline my heart. My heart, my flesh, that is naturally inclined to flesh. Is that yours? Our flesh is inclined to do evil and sin. Oh, give me a new heart. David in Psalm 51, boy, that's a personal psalm, isn't it? Create in me, wash me thoroughly. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Incline my heart, O Lord, unto thy testimonies. Don't set my affection, O Lord. I know he tells us to set our affection. But if he doesn't do it, we won't do it. Without him, we can do nothing. Set my affection, my heart, on thy testimony. What are his testimony? It's what you're looking at right now. But the testimony, the witness of God, is concerning his Son. Set my heart on things above where Christ sitteth. Let me desire him more than anything or anyone else. And that way I won't be turned aside. And I'll be with him someday. Incline my heart. Not to covetousness. Covetousness. That's our natural inclination. Covet things. But oh, he said, set your affection not on things on the earth, but things above. Eternal things. Because eternal things are just that, eternal. All right, look at verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Turn my eyes. We sing a song every now and then. Turn my eyes upon the Lord Jesus. I you know, our eyes are so prone to wander. Our eyes are just lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we look here, oh, that looks good, and we look there. And Satan is a master, and that's what happened to Eve in the garden. That's the first thing she saw. It was good for food. No, it's not good. It's bad. To make one wise, she heard a lie. Turn mine eyes from beholding vanity. What's vanity? What is vanity? Somebody. All. Everything. That's all. Right. All flesh. Name something that's not vanity. Name something other than what we're doing right now. Something other than Christ that is not vanity. And vanity means empty, unsatisfactory, will not suffice, will not give you what it promises, will not fulfill you, will not make you happy, will not make you secure, will not make you whatever you're looking for in it. It's vanity. Name something that's not vanity. He said it. That's what the Ecclesiastes says. Vanity of vanity. All flesh is vanity. Why do I lust after these things that not going to benefit me? So he said, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Oh, my eyes, my tongue, my feet, my heart. Turn me. Vanity. Look at verse 37. Quicken thou me in the way. Quicken thou. Proverbs 4. One more in Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Quicken thou me in the way to heaven. Quicken me. The young people, I hope you're listening. And I hope you'll read this. I hope you turn to these scriptures. This is speaking to children, young people. Proverbs 4. Take the opportunity to read these for yourself. Proverbs 4, look at this. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. See, Solomon's writing this, and he learned from his father, didn't he? Sounds just like what David said. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Verse 21. They are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Same thing David said. Solomon learned. Quicken thou me in the way. Christ the way. Do you ever feel like you're dead? Dead? Quickening means to give life. What is it that deadens us? Dead things. What's dead things? Everything in this world. And dead and dying. Quicken me in the way. Quicken my heart in the things of God. Look at verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Let it be settled in my heart. Write it on my heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians said. Let it be established. Let me read this to you. You don't have to turn, but I like this, what Simon Peter said about being established. He said, the God of all grace who called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you've suffered a while. And all through Psalm 119 talks about afflictions. Afflictions. Good for me that I've been afflicted. If I've learned thy statute. If I hadn't, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And God afflicts us and chastens us because we get too attached to these things when we ought to be more attached to Him. So after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, establish you, ground it, settle, strengthen you, strong in the faith. My body's getting weak. And yours, the older people, getting weak. I want my faith to get stronger. Strengthen, settle you. Settle you. I want to be settled. I don't want anything to be able to bother me. How? Well, establish thy word. Establish me in thy word. Let the word of God be established in my heart and mind. That God is true and everything he says is true. You can take him at his word. You can trust him. Everything he says. Trust his son. Verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who's devoted to thy fear. And this is talking to God's people. David truly feared the Lord. He did, didn't he? We read in Psalm 25 that he teach those that fear him, he'll teach the way. God's people really do fear him. Religion says in my heart there's no fear of God. But God's people, they fear his person. I was reading in Spurgeon's Treasury of David about these verses. And you know the Jews would not write God's name. They so revered his name that they wouldn't use it all the time. They fearfully feared his name. They reverenced his name so highly, at least that's what they say. But God's people fear his name. That's what distinguishes them from the world. They fear his word. We tremble at his word. There's some things we read that just, oh my. Like the people in Ezra that heard the law and they were weeping because they'd broken it. And, oh my. They fear, they have great reverence and respect and devotion to God's glory. We really do. Don't want to do anything. We fear sinning against the Lord. We fear leaving him. We fear him casting us out. Fear. See, fear will temper what you do. And fear of the Lord is clean. Scripture says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, let us be devoted to his fear. Unite our heart to fear thy name. Verse 39. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. Oh my. I fear. Don't you fear bringing reproach upon your Lord? The word reproach is shame. And the word that we use more than anything else is embarrassing. Have you ever done something embarrassing? Have you ever done something to embarrass those that you love and you embarrass yourself? It just fills you full of shame. And we ought to fear bringing embarrassing our God. We ought to fear embarrassing our brothers and sisters. We ought to fear embarrassing our wives and our family and all that. Bringing embarrassment upon them. Shouldn't we? And last of all, but least, is ourselves. Now I fear bringing reproach upon him. That'll regulate you. That'll restrain you. This fear of bringing reproach. He says, thy judgments are good. Psalm 51 is that as I said, one of the most personal psalms in all the scripture. And David said this about God's judgment. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I. Nobody is to blame. It's me. All my problems are. My problems are not anybody else. They're me. Adam and Eve, they both sinned against God, didn't they? Who'd they have to blame? Well, they started blaming, Eve blamed the serpent and Adam blamed the woman. No, you have only yourself to blame. Right? And when David found that out, when Nathan told him, thou art the man. You're the one. Don't blame anybody else. There's not, you can't do anything about anybody else. It's you. So David said, Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and you're going to be justified when you speak, and you'll be clear when you judge me. And that's when he goes on to say, oh, purge me, wash me, make me to hear joy and gladness. Create in me, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. See, this is a psalm for me. This is a psalm for you. Thy judgments are good. God's judgments are good. What his dealings, however he deals with us, it's going to be right. It's going to be just. It's going to be true. And thank God, Christ bore. He hath not dealt with us after our sin. But if he chastens me, if I bring reproach upon him and he chastens me, like David, David brought reproach upon the Lord, so David was embarrassed in front of everybody. And it was good. David said, it's right. Whatever you do is right. Right. Verse 40. Behold, I've longed after thy precept. Is this psalm for you? Psalm for me. Is this psalm for you? Do you long after his word? Does your soul have a longing for Christ, for God? David said this, quoted all the time, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek him. Is that you? Is it really? Don't say this to me. Say it to the Lord. David said that to the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house. Lord, you said seek thy face, and so thy face I seek. And it's one thing I desire. I've longed after thy precept. Quicken me. Give me life. Give me life in thy righteousness. What's that? Now let me close. 28 minutes. Let me close with this, okay? In the New Testament, Paul picks up this very strain in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Go there with me and I'll close a bit. It said, quicken me in thy righteousness. All right, what does that mean? Well, Christ is the way. And we've been looking at that in this psalm. And look at this. In Philippians 3, Paul says, verse 7, what things were gained to me, a loss. The more I gain in this world, I think the more I lose spiritually. Don't you? Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble therein. And we're all guilty of it. We've accumulated so much stuff that gets in the way. It hinders us spiritually. It really does. It drags us down. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things. You count it but dung. It's rubbish, but manure. You know, everything turns to manure. Yes, it does. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. So few people know what that means. You do, don't you? Quicken me in thy righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, that I might know him. That doesn't mean about him. That means have a relationship with him. Be united to him. Commune with him. Be one with him. The power of his resurrection. Oh, never die. The fellowship of his suffering on the cross. Be made conformable unto his death. Crucified with Christ. Buried with him. But living. Life I live by the faith of the Son of God. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He says, it's not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. And that's what David is praying for back there. I want to apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do. Like David said, one thing. Forget those things behind, reaching forth unto those things before I press. This is a pressing matter. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature in the faith, be thus minded. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, please quicken me. Quicken me in the way. Teach me. Lead me. Make me. Incline me. If he doesn't do it, we can't. Okay, stand with me.